All right, Church Unlimited, how's everyone doing today? Are we all doing good? Good, I'm excited. God has got a word today. I believe that. I believe that God wants to speak to you today. I really, really do. And so I do want to start off again just by saying, hey, welcome to Church Unlimited. Thank you for being here with us today on this Memorial Weekend. I also want to welcome those of you watching online. Thank you for being a part of our church family and for those in our prison ministry as well. We love you guys and we love what God is doing in and through each and every single one of you. Well, we are a church of honor, and so we always want to give honor where honor is due, and that is to our senior pastors of this house, Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for loving this city and the difference that you have made over all of these years. And it is an honor to be on this stage today just to preach up here. And so thank you for the opportunity. We can't do it without you. Thank you for loving on these people so well. Can we please just give it up for Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica? But before we dive into God's word, I do want to just give it to God in prayer, because let's be honest, we are nothing without Him. And so let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do just come before you, and God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you're going to do. Lord, this is your altar. This is your stage. This is your platform. And so, Lord, it is all yours. I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move amongst the people today, Lord God. May every ear be open. May every heart be open to receive your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Marcus, and I do have the privilege of being the campus pastor right here at our broadcast campus. My wife, Pastor Christina, and I, we have four adorable children, one of which is actually adorable. The other three are a work in progress. Since I've had my daughter, I forgot about the other three, and so, you know, it's like, you're 8 years old, go get a job. Like, why are you still here? So we have, we're blessed to have the family that we have. And so we're honored to be here and to be at this church. And so we're talking about the Sabbath. And let's just be honest, as parents, we know that any sort of undisturbed sleep is like a whole day in itself. And so I know as I'm preaching this message today, I'm preaching to myself. And the title of today's message is Soul Care. You know, Pastor Zach did a phenomenal job last week going into what the Sabbath is. And now it's a day set apart by God for rest and for worship and fellowship with Him. And today I want to take that into soul care, looking after your soul, and jumping back into Exodus 20 verses 8 through 10, just to remind us of what the Sabbath is. It says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord. And so as we get ready to take care of our souls today, my first point is this: God commanded the Sabbath day because He loves us and desires to protect us from exhaustion. See, God gave us the Sabbath day as a rhythm to bless our lives. It's literally so that you and I can have some soul care on that day. The Sabbath isn't a suggestion, it's a strategy. And we have to look at it in that way. That the Sabbath isn't something that maybe we should do. It's a must. It is necessary because it sets everything up. In fact, in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, it says, then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. We've got to get it out of our head that the Sabbath is laziness. It isn't. It is loyalty to God's rhythm. It is not laziness to take a day of rest. It is literally loyalty to God's rhythm of life and how He intends us to function. And the truth is, the Sabbath should be the first rhythm of our week. You know, Sunday is meant to be the first day of the week. that we start our week off in God's house and in his presence, a day of rest, spending time with him. But so often we will treat Sunday as if it is the last day of the week. That we walk in through these doors completely burnt out, exhausted. We plop down in our seats in the hope that something is going to minister to us this day. And so I want to try and help us switch our mindsets that Sunday is not the last day of the week, it is the first day of the week. And when we get into this rhythm with God, that when we start our week off with a day of rest and just being in his presence, it sets our entire week up for success. When we start with God, it shows that God holds first place in our lives and in our schedules. We have to remind ourselves that rest is not a luxury. It is necessary, and it is a God-ordained practice. Imagine with me someone running on a treadmill. As you can tell by my manly physique, I run on treadmills a lot. Why are you laughing? Like, it's not nice. And so you imagine, though, someone running on a treadmill, and they're sweating, and they're breathing heavy, and they are running as fast as they can for as long as they can. But the truth is this, they never move an inch. They're exhausted and they're going nowhere. No matter how hard they run or how fast they run or how long they run, the simple fact is they go nowhere. Now imagine someone going out on a walk. They're outside. They're breathing in the fresh air. The sun is on their skin. They're taking in the beauty of God's creation. And with every step they take, they are going somewhere. The point is this, the treadmill is what life feels like when we never stop to rest. We're busy. We're overcommitted. We're always running, but we're going nowhere. We're just moving in place. We've believed the lie that busyness is progress. And that if I just stay busy, I'll make progress. But Jesus didn't call us to treadmill living. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We have to understand that rest isn't just stopping the activity. It's getting off of the treadmill and resting in his presence and walking with God at his pace. The practice of taking a day of rest is a healthy and holy rhythm that fights the chaos of this world. And how you start your week can often dictate how you'll live it. And so are you starting your week off treating Sunday as the first day of the week in rest and in his presence? Or are you starting your week off Monday through Saturday and then you're walking in through these doors, burnt out and tired because you didn't start your week off with the day of rest? See, I can give myself permission to rest because I have faith in a God that while I'm resting, he's still awake working on my behalf. What about you? And you may be saying, okay, I hear you, but what does the Sabbath day look like in application? How do I have a day of rest? And that brings me to my second point. That the Sabbath day is meant to be spent in relationship with God, ourselves, and others. It's a day in which we pause for purpose, a day to be in deeper relationship with God, a day in which we remember God as our creator and our redeemer, and that we are his. And when we don't pause in our lives, it's so easy to lose sight of God's goodness. And the Sabbath isn't just about taking a nap. The Sabbath allows God to recalibrate our souls. Psalm 23:3 says, he restores my soul. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. But it's difficult to be still and to have rest when we've forgotten whose we are. When we are go, go, go by the world's standard, we often miss God's guidance in the stillness because we're not resting. And the Sabbath is an opportunity to recenter your identity on being God's beloved. He created you on purpose, for a purpose. You are unique. There is only one of you in the entire universe. You matter that much to God that He only made one. And the Sabbath reminds us of whose we are. That you're not another face in the crowd, but you're a child of God. You're not a product of your past, but you're made in His image. You're not broken beyond repair, but you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not ordinary or insignificant. You are His masterpiece. You are not lost or without purpose, but you are His royal priesthood, a chosen people, called, equipped, set apart, and destined for greatness. That is whose you are. And when we take a day to Sabbath and we stop thinking about who the world says we are, we remind ourselves of who we are, but more importantly, whose we are and what He says about you. Now you can rest and know that He is God because you're recalibrating your soul. How do you rest in God's presence? Spend time with God in prayer. Write a gratitude journal. Go on a gratitude walk. Spend time with Him. And not only is the Sabbath a day to be in deeper relationship with God, but it's a day to be in deeper relationship with ourselves. The day of rest allows our gratitude to refuel our joy, and a day in which we don't obsess over things that are unfinished. It's no secret that I love football, soccer to the Americans in the room. I love it, and when I'm not spending time with Jesus or with my family, I'm doing everything that I can to watch soccer, play soccer, coach soccer. Like, I'm obsessed with it. I love it so much, and I love that this past year I had the opportunity to coach my son's U10 team, and we were the youngest team in the top U9, U10 division, and we won the league. And I love that we were able to do that. And here's the truth, not a single day of that felt like work. It never felt like work. Why? Because I was doing something that I love. And when we're having that day of rest, that Sabbath day is to do something that you love. So let me ask you this question. Do you really know what sparks joy and refreshment in your life? And are you allowing time in your life to do it? Maybe for you it is soccer. Doubtful. But maybe. Like, maybe it's fishing. Maybe it's running. Maybe it's reading. Maybe it's painting. Whatever it is, are you giving yourself permission to do those things? Because you have to. Because if you don't plan for those things, it will never happen. And your day of rest is meant for you to be in deeper relationship with God and yourself. Do the things that you love to do. And the third one was this. It's a day to be in deeper relationship with others. God designed for us to be in relationship. Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." And so the Sabbath day is us coming together in worship, being in His presence, experiencing life-giving relationships. Your story, your testimony has the power to change someone else's life. And on our Sabbath day, on our day of rest, that's why God wants us in His house, because you can make a difference in someone else's life. God often uses community as a catalyst for transformation. And I hope this personal story that I'm about to share with you and the importance of taking a Sabbath day and being in relationship with others as well as looking after yourself. I hope it speaks to someone today. See, my dad is my hero. I love my dad. He's the type of dad that I can call at any moment, even though he's 5,000 miles away in England. I know I can pick up the phone, I can FaceTime him, and no matter what I'm dealing with, no matter what I'm going through, or whatever questions I have, my dad is the type of man that just has the right amount of wisdom with the right words to say at the right moment. And when I was growing up, he was no different. As a young boy, I was proud of my dad. It was the type of pride that I would look at my dad and be like, yeah, that's my dad. And towards the end of the year of 2000, something would change my dad's life forever, though. And I've never shared this story apart from the last two services. After serving in the police force for 32 years, becoming a police sergeant, serving full-time as a bivocational pastor, being a full-time husband, being a full-time dad, my dad's body finally said it's done. And after never resting for all of those years, the body keeps score. And my dad's score wasn't even in mission critical. It was in mission failure. See, my dad never rested. He never stopped. My dad was anything and everything to everyone. He didn't know how to say no. He didn't know how to rest. It was always, let's get Jeff Brenling to do it, because they knew that my dad had a heart of excellence, and not only would he get the job done, it would be to the very highest level. And that all changed at the end of the year 2000. When my dad got up to go to work one day like he normally did, and he was walking out the back door, and right before he did, he gave my mom a goodbye kiss. And as the back door closed, I thought, my dad's just off to work again. And the back door opened up moments later, and there's my dad standing in the kitchen, and he just looks at my mom and he says, I can't do this anymore. And my dad walked over to the kitchen table. He sat down in a chair and he burst into tears. Here's the man that's my hero. The strongest man that I know. I didn't know a single man stronger than him physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But here is my dad as a 15-year-old boy, just seeing my dad broken. And I knew that my dad was having a breakdown in that moment. I didn't fully understand all what was going on, but I knew that my dad was broken. And over the early days that my dad had this breakdown, I saw my dad become a shell of his former self. He wasn't shaving. He wasn't getting out of bed. He could barely walk. He was just mentally and physically done. He was put on medication. And when he went to the doctor told him the number one reason was this. He said it's the sheer volume of work and responsibility without resting. My dad not resting is literally what took my dad down. And there's a saying that if you want a job done, then give it to a busy person. And that was my dad. And my dad was determined to go back to work. And so after a few months, he forced himself to go back to work. And guess what? My dad had another breakdown and he relapsed. But my dad was determined to go back to work a third time. And he did, but this time it was even a shorter period of time. And my dad had another breakdown and he relapsed again. And on that third time, the police medical officer looked at my dad and said, you have to call it a day. Your body is done. You have done more than enough. From 1969 to 2001, all my dad had known was working in the police force. But we have to learn, church, that our bodies need rest. You can't just keep going. You've got to rest on your day off. And on your day of rest, someone else's urgency cannot be your emergency. You've got to rest. You have to take a Sabbath. You've got to look after your soul, because if you don't, you'll end up like my dad. Could it be that your marriage is struggling, or your relationship with your kids is becoming distant simply because you won't rest? You're everything and anything to everyone else but them, and maybe you're doing it unintentionally, but your body needs rest. And when my dad had that breakdown, it changed everything, because he wasn't caring for his soul, and we as his family were feeling the cost. Healthy boundaries protect your well-being and your relationships. Boundaries are an act of love. On your day off, don't pick up your phone. Don't go to work. Be off. Tell people, leave me alone. Go away. I don't want to talk to you today. This is my day off. You can bother me tomorrow. But we've become everything and anything to everyone in this crazy, jacked up world where we're addicted to our phones and your body's not getting the rest that it needs. We've got to set boundaries in your life. Because the truth is this, caring for your soul is the most selfless act that you can do. The health of your soul directly impacts everyone God has placed in your life. Ultimately, with my dad being forced to rest, God restored him back to full health, and he was able to be used by God in a powerful way to minister to thousands of people, and he still does to this day. But he was forced to rest. So on your day of rest, make sure you're spending it in deep relationship with God, deep relationship with yourself, and deep relationship with others that love you. Turn your phone off for 24 hours. What if your Saturday night looked like you turning your phone off at 7 p.m. and you didn't turn it back on until Sunday at 7 p.m.? 24 hours. You're not that important. You can do it. The world isn't going to catch on fire. There's not going to be an alien invasion with you turning your phone off. Turn your phone off. Be with your spouse. Be with your kids. Everyone else on your phone can wait until the following day. They don't need you on your day of rest. Which brings me to my third point, and having soul care. Ultimately, every Sabbath is an opportunity to rest your body, refill your soul, and remind your heart of who you are. The truth is, though, it's hard to rest. It's hard to refill our soul, and it's hard to remind our heart of who we are when so often we quickly forget all that God has done for us. See, imagine this backpack is your life. And God calls for us to rest. And right now, the backpack is empty. But when we don't rest, when we don't spend time in his presence, all of a sudden, we will start filling our lives up with the things that we were never meant to carry. Stress from work, that can get in there. Financial pressure, yep, we'll have some of that in there. Worrying about the future, yep, let's put that in there as well. Nervous about what may happen, what may not happen, or what I'm going to do, what I'm not going to do. We'll squeeze this brick in there. That doesn't want to go in, but I'm forcing you in there anyway. And then this brick, well, that just represents everything else that we were never meant to carry. And then this becomes our life, and we zip it up because we're never resting in God's presence. And so our life becomes everything that we were never meant to carry. And gosh, this is heavy. And we start walking around with the weight of the world on our shoulders, but we're heavier and we're slower and we're struggling and we're hunched over and every step we take is painful, but we've convinced ourselves in our mind in today's world that I can't rest. I have to keep going. I have to keep moving forward, that this is my weight to carry, but it isn't your weight to carry. It's God's weight to carry. But we've convinced ourselves that it is my weight when we take a Sabbath day. When we have a day of rest, resting isn't just about stopping the activity. Resting allows God to take and remove what we were never meant to carry in the first place. But you've got to remind your heart. You've got to remind your heart of the victory that you already have in Jesus. Because 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Why did Paul write "the victory"? Because the phrase "the victory" is a definite article. It means that it is known to the writer and to the listener. It means that it really happened and Paul is writing about it. And so the victory is established. It means that it is settled. It was sealed on the cross and it was confirmed in an empty tomb. And that is what Jesus did for you and I. And we have to remind ourselves daily of this victory, that it is a victory so complete, so overwhelming, that nothing can reverse it. It is not a maybe, it is a promise. And what's interesting in this is that Paul didn't write the word normally for victory, which is Nike, which is where Nike got their name from. But it's actually Nikos. Why did Paul write Nikos? Because Nikos is a different type of victory. It's a victory that means with all conquest, all triumph, all winning, and to utterly vanquish, to defeat someone completely and totally, leaving them with no possibility of recovery or resistance. And that is what Jesus did for you and for me. He didn't just give you a fighting chance. He didn't just level the playing field. He crushed the power of sin and death, and he handed that victory to you and I. And so when we feel restless, when we feel defeated, when the weight of life just seems too much for us, that we can't take a Sabbath, when the enemy is whispering lies in your ear, then you feel like you have lost, you've got to remember the victory. It is not a maybe. It is not up for debate. It is already yours in Christ, because he didn't just cover your sin, he crushed it. He didn't just face death, he conquered it. And he hands that victory to you because he loves you and he wants you to rest in his presence. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now, on my day of rest, I could remind my heart of everything that he has done for me. And I am not stress. I am not anxiety. I am not worry. I am not doubt. I am not everything that the world says about me, but I am victorious in Jesus. And now I am resting in his presence. Now my life can be filled with the things of God instead of the things of the world. But you have to rest in his presence. And so stand tall today, not because of your strength, but because of his. Walk in confidence, not in your circumstances, but in his conquest. The battle is already won. The enemy is already defeated. Jesus' final words on the cross were, "It is finished." And so, Church Unlimited, you don't fight for victory. You live from victory. You have the victory. And now go and rest like it. Take care of your soul. That's all he wants. He just wants you in his presence. If the creator of the universe rested. Why do we think we can't, or we don't have to? We're not God, and He rested. Take time to rest and just be in His presence. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. Maybe you're in here today. Maybe this message spoke to you today, and maybe you're like the backpack with all the bricks. Maybe you've forgotten how to rest in His presence, and you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders, a weight that you were never meant to carry. You have the victory in Jesus. It is not yours to carry. Let it go. And I want to give those of you an opportunity in here. I want to pray over you that if you feel like that, if you feel like you just have to let it go today, which you need to do, make today the day that you reset and rest in His presence. It's not yours to carry. You've been carrying it for too long. Let it go and start living the life that Jesus called for you to live, and rest in His presence. If that's you today and you're in here, no one's looking around, but if you're ready to let it go and trust in God because you're reminded of the victory, I want to pray for you. But I want to know who I'm praying for. So if that's you and you're ready just to let it go, will you just slip your hand up in the air today? There's so many hands going up across this place. So many of you have been weighed down by the weight of the world. Use today as a day of freedom. It's not yours anymore. Give it to God. And just rest in His presence. Lord, I thank You for each and every single person that has their hand raised today. Lord, I pray that they will be able to rest well with You. Lord, the weight that they've been carrying, they lay it at the foot of the cross today because they remember the victory that they have in You, Jesus. And so take it from them today. May they leave here differently than how they walked in. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And every head bowed, every eye closed still. Maybe today you're in here and you're saying, hey, I heard you talk about taking care of your soul. But maybe you're in here and you don't even have a real relationship with Jesus. The best way to take care of your soul, first and foremost, is by entering in a relationship with Him. By inviting Jesus in to be Lord of your life so that you can walk in the victory that He has already given you. And so if that's you today and you're ready to take care of your soul by inviting Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to lead out in a prayer. And I'm going to ask that we as a church pray this prayer as one big family in support of those that are praying this for the very first time. So if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I ask You right now that You, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. I repent and say sorry. Please come into my life, dwell in my heart, and be my Lord and Savior. Thank You that my soul is taken care of. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you in here today and you just prayed that prayer to receive Jesus, would you please do me the honor and just let me know that you prayed that prayer. No one's looking around. This is just your moment between you and God. But if that's you, will you just raise your hand up high so that I can see it? Thank You for these hands. Thank You for those hands. There's so many hands going up. Is there anyone else that wants to say, yeah, that's me? Online, you can put it in the text chat. Hand raised. Hand raised. Lord, we do come before You and I thank You for each and every single hand that went up in this place, Lord. Thank You that they have crossed from death to life, Lord God, that their name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life and their soul is being taken care of. May You go before them and may You be with them. And for everyone in here, May we get the rest that we need, because today is the first day of our week, not the last. And so we look forward to walking with you in your presence this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.